Welcome back. And after listening to this jingle jangle 12-string guitar, you might think this is the Byrds from circa 1967. No. This is the Jayhawks. She Walks in So Many Ways, and this song is from the 1990s. But again, very reminiscent of the Byrds. Great tune. They were named Asher, Dan, Ephraim, Gad, Issachar, Manasseh, Naphtali, Reuben, Simeon, and Zebulun. They were all sons or grandsons of Jacob from the Old Testament, and then divided into two kingdoms, Israel in the north, Judah in the south. Then around 740 BC, the Assyrians swept in and sent the 10 tribes in the north into exile. They became known as the Lost Tribes of Israel and seemed to disappear into the murky mists of time. We will discuss the Lost Tribes of Israel, and my two guests believe they have found them. That's upcoming when Coast to Coast continues right after this. Welcome back to Coast AM. Richard Serrett coming to you live from Coast's Toronto affiliate talk radio AM 640. We are about to embark on a journey in pursuit of the Lost Ten Tribes. Media scientists and radio personalities Nelson Thal and Wanda Thal have been professionally researching, lecturing, and discussing and writing about the Lost Ten Tribes since 1982. Nelson Thal is recognized as one of the world's leading authorities on the science of communication, media, and process analysis. His expertise has afforded him the opportunity to define law terms for the Federal Court of Canada and develop a television series with Dr. Timothy Leary. Bill Gates and Peter Lloyd invited Thal to contribute an essay to the book Web Weaving in 1998. While a graduate student studying at the University of Toronto with Professor Marshall McLuhan, Thal became a McLuhan protege and served as the president of the Marshall McLuhan Center on Global Communications from 1990 to 1995. He served on the boards of directors of Torstar, Stan Lee Media, Peace Arch Films and Entertainment, and other publicly traded media companies. He's a lecturer, author, and has been a consultant to companies in the United States, Russia, Canada, and Britain. First of all, to you, Nelson, welcome.
It's a pleasure being here with you and a real honor coming on with you, Richard. Thank you.
All right. Wanda Thal has lectured on the Lost and Found Tribes of the House of Israel. She's a former producer and co-host of the successful and popular internet radio show Shock Talk with Bloom and Steele. She's dedicated to the research of Bible history and the Lost Ten Tribes, has worked with Nelson Thal on Unseen Hand, The Origin of History and Future of the English-Speaking Peoples by Dr. David C. Lewis, and has read and studied in detail and accurate works of Yair Davidi, author of The Tribes, Joseph, and To Rule the World. Wanda Thal, welcome to Coast AM. How are you?
It's awesome to be here, Richard.
All right. Let's begin with a bit of a primer. I gave kind of a very brief thumbnail sketch of the 12 tribes. But for those who are not familiar with the Old Testament in any way, just give us a sense what we're talking about when we refer to the, first of all, the 12 tribes, and then we'll get into the 10 tribes. Either one of you, go ahead.
Okay, well, it's great being here, Richard. You know, this is a great topic because it's exciting to start exploring and looking for people's identity, which is what we've been doing. And certainly a door is opening up tonight, and it's nice. I think giving people more of an understanding of who they are is sort of a way of making history. So it's quite exciting to go through this. We've put up a lot of information on our website, www.tribaltalkers, and because, of course, this medium is limited to just the acoustic, so people are used to having some visual fill-in, so if they go to tribaltalkers.com, they can sort of see a lot of the pictures, and the picture's worth a thousand words, right, Richard?
Absolutely, and you do. You have maps and charts and so forth. Again, that's www.tribaltalkers.com. Okay, so again, to the central question. Talk to me about the 12 tribes and who they were.
Take it away.
Well, we can start with the three patriarchs. We can start with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm just going to give you a quick synopsis of who they were. Jacob had 12 sons, and the sons' names were Reuben, Shimeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Joseph, and Benjamin. Known to history as the 12 tribes of Israel, these tribes settled on both sides of the Jordan River in Canaan.
You know, Richard, I think the important thing that we want to get through is because it's a big topic, but basically the 12 sons were promised to be made into nations and given nationhood status, which is pretty well what happened. They received their own lands in the promised land. They crossed over the Jordan on dry ground and went in and took the land, and they created one nation under King David. But after David died, his son took over, Solomon. Everybody's heard of Solomon. Solomon ruled the one nation, which was the union of the brothers, until he died. And after his death, what happened is the brothers, you know the way it is in families, they split up, and two of them went to the south and formed a nation called Judah, and 10 of the brothers went to the north and had a capital at Samaria. And they created a country there, the nation of Israel, with their capital of Samaria. And that basically was in, they split up pretty well around 900 B.C. So we're talking roughly 900 B.C., these 10 brothers went to the north, created their own country, and that's what this story is about, because the 10 lost tribes come out of that nation of Israel, the north country. And these aren't the Jews now. This is separate from the Jews. Judah, the brother, he's gone to the south. He's segregated himself, separated himself from the 10. The 10 are separate. They are basically Joseph and Reuben are the strongest. Reuben's the oldest, and Joseph's the strongest, because Joseph received the material part of Abraham, of the blessing that God gave to Abraham. Are you with me?
I am. I am. So we are talking about when we talk about the lost tribes of Israel, we are talking about the 10 tribes that formed the state of, or the kingdom of Israel in the north, not the two tribes of Judah and Benjamin in the kingdom of Judah, which is in the south, correct?
That's right. And it's important to also, you have the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And remember, all three religions today, Muslim, Judaism, and Christianity, all publicly trace their ancestry back to Abraham.
Correct. Correct. So what happened then to the 10 tribes? Why and how did they become lost?
Well, basically, they were told in the Bible that if they didn't abide by the laws, the commandments, that what would happen is they would be scattered across the earth. They wouldn't be, their tribal identity wouldn't be tainted so much that they disappeared. Their tribes would not disappear. The tribes basically married within the tribe and kept the family brotherhood line, bloodline together. But they lost touch with their own identity, even though the bloodline and the identity of the tribe stayed together. And basically what transpired is as they were scattered, they moved from across northwestern Europe through basically two routes. And what's interesting is now the routes are completely, not only is it archaeology and linguistics and signs and flags and symbols, is it traceable, but now we've got genetic science that shows the migrations right from the Middle East across the north shore of the Mediterranean to Spain, and then from Spain north to the Isles, which is where they were prophesied to be. Listen, O Isles, it says in the Bible.
And we will get we'll get to where they ended up. But what precipitated this scattering? I mentioned something about the Assyrians.
Well, the Bible shows that God used the Assyrians as his rod when he's angry, and he was spanking and scattering these people, and he used the Assyrians and rose up and gave power to the Assyrians to move in and take over in 722 B.C. They captured Israel and took the people captive to the north.
So they were held in captivity for a while, these 10 tribes, and then what, later released and they scattered?
Wanda's going to pick up.
that's good.
All right, Wanda, the actual...
About 20 years, the Assyrians took them captive, so they started to take the tribes captive from about 740 B.C. to about 722 B.C., and they were taken to Assyria, and during that period of time, they were really kept as slaves. So at the end of that captivity, they actually did not return to Jerusalem. They scattered abroad, whereas Judah was taken captive in 604 B.C., which was Judah, the house of Judah, and some of the Benjaminites, but they returned 60 years later to rebuild the temple. So they actually returned to Jerusalem. So the lost 10 tribes were the ones that were lost and scattered about. But they weren't really lost.
Yeah, Richard, I think it's important to note that they, remember, they weren't lost to the historians. I mean, even Julius Caesar wrote about the fact that he knew where the brothers of Jacob were located. And many famous historians, Josephus, Pliny, Herodotus, and I mentioned Julius Caesar, there's many more. You can go to our website and we go through it. But there's many of these authors, writers from antiquity who knew about the tribes and where they were located.
Well, and as you mentioned,
in the book of Matthew, the Bible, the disciples of Christ were sent to the lost, quote, lost sheep of the house of Israel. So by the time the Bible was written, they knew where they were.
So the lost sheep that you're certain refers to the 10 lost tribes in the book of Matthew.
Oh, for sure, the lost sheep of the house of Israel in the New Testament, in Matthew, and
James
wrote it in his letter. It's addressed to them. The disciples were, if you follow one of the reasons why you know where they are is when you start to follow where the disciples went, and Paul went to the Gentiles, all the other disciples went to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So when you follow where they went, you know where the lost tribes were.
Nelson Thal and Wanda Thal are with us. We're talking about the lost and found tribes of Israel. The website is tribaltalkers.com. Now, I just want to back up for a moment because you mentioned the covenant of Abraham, who was the grandfather of these 12 tribes. His son Jacob, of course, fathered these the 12 sons, and they all became the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, what was Abraham's a promise? What was this covenant that he made?
He was promised to become the father of all nations because he was very obedient. So that his name was changed from Abram to Abraham. And he was told that he would become the father of many nations, and he would be made exceedingly fruitful, and will make nations out of these, and kings will come out of these. So there was an everlasting covenant that was made with him and God. And so that was what happened. It was called an unconditional covenant that God bestowed upon him. So it was an everlasting binding agreement, a contract.
But then was there not a promise also made or a prophecy relating to the 12 tribes or the 12 sons?
Yeah, for sure.
His son Isaac.
What happened is because he sacrificed his son Isaac and was prepared to sacrifice him, and at the last minute an angel stopped his hand from sacrificing his son Isaac, because he was prepared to give up his son, and went to such a degree that it was only in the last minute, last seconds, that he was stopped from the knife slicing his son. As a result of proving that and giving that faith, God gave Abraham a blessing that would be carried on to his children and his grandchildren and his entire line, that they would possess the gates of the world, that they would be the strongest nations in the world, that they would have the most powerful resources and the largest army and the largest navy, and they would rule the world.
And that's, as we're going to find out, this prophecy or these references to powerful navies, for example, this is very telling, isn't it, as we'll soon discover?
Yes, I mean, we're on the path here of the fact that the Bible claims that the blessing was unconditional, and that from the time of the captivity in roughly 720 BC, for 2,520 years it would be deferred, but by the time 2,520 years was up, that God was bound to give and honor his commitment to Abraham and give that status and give that wealth, that material wealth, to the sons of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then to Joseph, and from Joseph to his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And there's the famous scene in the Kings where Jacob crosses his hands when the twins, Ephraim and Manasseh, are brought before him. He crosses his hands, and that symbol became picked up by the tribe itself within their flags elsewhere. So there's a lot of proof and clues. And when people start to see them, they're going to be surprised that they're so evident in the flags, in the language. It's quite abundant and all over the place once people get an understanding of the ID, the identification.
For years, people have been speculating, and it may not be speculation. There may be some evidence here, but it's been suggested, for example, that the lost tribes of Israel settled in places like Afghanistan, in places like India, even places like China. Are we talking? Is that too far afield, or is there some credence to that?
Remember, at the time of King David, the Phoenicians had gone around the world with their ships. The Phoenicians and the ships of Tarshish were famous. They had gone around the world, and even there's traces. Remember, there's the Las Lunas stone in New Mexico, which has the carvings of the Ten Commandments on it. There's wood that was found in the first Temple of Solomon, which came from Ontario, Canada, and could only have come from Ontario, Canada. So going up the St. Lawrence, these people knew how to go around the world by the time of King David's realm rule in 1000 B.C.
So the 10 tribes, they likely then boarded large ocean-going vessels. Is that the idea?
Well, Phoenicia and Tyre was just north of Manasseh and Ephraim and Dan, and they got on these ships and they could go around the world, and they had a tin trade going. Tin and copper made bronze, and they got that out of England. So they were trading and bringing copper and tin in 1500, between 1000 and 1500 BC. It's amazing how really unaware we are of the vast travels that these people made. We think that because we have jets, etc., that they couldn't make it. Quite frankly, they, from as early as 1800 BC, ships of Tarshish, and 1500 BC were going to the New World. It's during the Dark Ages, Richard, that we lost the truth about the Alexandrian Library was destroyed. We lost the truth about the Age of Antiquity and the ancient world. We thought Columbus was the first. Actually, Columbus was the last to discover America, quite frankly.
Yeah, that's very true, as I've come to understand as well. Now, do we have a handle on how many people are involved here in this mass migration? We're talking 10 tribes from the Kingdom of Israel. How many people, roughly, would we be talking about? Tens of thousands? Hundreds of thousands? Do we know at all?
I would say there would probably be at least 100,000. There were hundreds of thousands. And but when they left Assyria, they went towards Armenia and the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea. They went through the Dariel Pass, which is also called the Gate of Israel. And Ptolemy mentions that they were also called the Scythians or the Saka, which is also a Saxon. A river flowing from the Caspian is called the Scandia Socanda. So they headed to the Isles, but they went, well, there were probably a million.
Okay, Wanda, listen, I've got to jump in here. We'll take a timeout. Nelson Thal, Wanda Thal, tribaltalkers.com. Back with more of our conversation on the lost and found tribes of Israel right here on Coast to Coast AM. You can listen to my weekly syndicated radio program, The Conspiracy Show, which broadcasts out of Toronto, Canada, on Zoomer Radio AM 740 and 96.7 FM. We also have closing in on 40 affiliates stateside. For more information or to listen to the live stream Sunday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern or to subscribe to my free app, go to strangeplanet.ca. That's strangeplanet.ca. When we come back, archaeological, anthropological, linguistic, and genetic evidence leading to the location of the lost tribes of Israel. Stay with us right here on Coast to Coast AM. And we are back with Nelson and Wanda Thal in pursuit of the lost tribes and the science of ancestral identity. The website, tribaltalkers.com. And if you want to sort of follow along and log on to the website, and you can see some of the images and charts there, that might be very helpful. Now, when we're talking about this migration of the 10 tribes after they leave Assyria, they're taken into captivity in Assyria, and then they scatter. Does each specific tribe, for example, does Naphtali go one way, Dan another, Simeon goes another, Reuben another, or are they all sort of mingled and lumped together?
Well, they all start off together, but each one of the tribes heads out to a specific area. Most of them went northwest. Some of them went to the Isles. So if you had to decide on which tribe it was, you've got all the different tribes. You have Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah. Judah stayed in Israel, so did Benjamin. But you had Zebulon, Issachar, Dan, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, and Joseph. So all of these moved during this migration towards either the Isles or northwestern European countries.
Okay, so let's take, for example, because you mentioned the Isles, let's talk about the British Isles.
Yes.
Which tribe went there, and then from there we'll start to sort of go through some of the archaeological or linguistic evidence, or even the genetic evidence. Which tribe went to the British Isles?
Ephraim went to the British Isles. And he was the one of the sons of Joseph. There was Ephraim and Manasseh were the two sons of Joseph, which they received the birthright blessing from Jacob. And he crossed his arms. So the younger son got the birthright blessing to become a commonwealth of nations. And the other son, Manasseh, the elder son got the secondary blessing, which was to become a great nation.
Okay. So again, which one went to the British Isles?
Ephraim.
All right. So let's look at some of the clues then.
Richard, just to add to that, over time, all the brothers did sort of go across to North and Western Europe, mm-hmm. and a lot of them settled as a union. All of them in some way went to Ireland, Scotland, and England, but Ephraim was, because they were the largest out of the population of the 10 brothers, Ephraim and Manasseh were like 60%. Of the population, those two alone. So the others were a lot smaller in population. So Ephraim and Manasseh were the big, big population ones, and they were the ones that got the big blessing, the lion's share of the blessing. So the other brothers sort of tagged along on their coattails, like happens in a family. You know, the big brothers and the ones who've got the money in their wallet sort of call the shots, and the others go along. And so they all sort of scattered, but reassembled in northwestern Europe. Dan, of course, is easily traceable through the Danube River. He left his mark all over the place.
That's interesting. Let me stop you right there. So the Danube River, which of course is immortalized in literature and song and so forth, the Danube gets its name from tribe Joseph, of Dan.
Right, Joseph's brother Dan. And he was a seafaring people and liked to go out on ships. And actually, even before they scattered in 722, even before they were captured in 722 BC, back at the time of King David, Dan left and went up to the Isles and went through the Danube, and long before 722 BC when his brothers were taken captive. So the bulk of them came after the captivity, but Dan went ahead and he left his mark. So we can trace where these brothers went. And it's important to realize that they were not Jews. These aren't Jews. Abraham's not Jewish. Isaac's not Jewish. Jacob's not Jewish, because Judah is Jacob's son. So these people were Hebrew, but they weren't Jewish, because Abraham's grandfather is Heber, and that's where the word Hebrew comes. And of course, they left their mark in Spain. It's called Iberia, which comes from the word Hebrew. And then when they went up to Scotland, we have the Hebrides Islands in Scotland, and that's the word Hebrew. So when you start to look at the linguistics, and we'll get into some of the other symbols, it's absolutely fascinating as to how easy it was to really trace where these brothers and their nations and tribes ultimately went.
So when we're talking about Ephraim in the British Isles, let's talk about linguistics, for example, because you say
the
that...
The flag of Ephraim is Union Jack, so he's got Jacob right in his flag. I mean, to put a man's name in your flag, you got that's big stuff. That's because that's the tribe, that's the tribal identity. The union of brothers is the Union Jack, the children of Jacob.
And how do we know with all certainty that that Jack in the Union Jack refers to Jacob?
Well, it's first of all, now with the genetics, you see, genetically, you can trace the migration genetically right to the British Isles, and this is not as if, Richard, what we've done is put together from about 30 different relatively new authors to all the ancient historians. When you put together all the evidence, it's just amazing. Union Jack, well, what else would the British name? I mean, there's just so many. The Scottish Declaration of Independence says that, I'll quote it, "And coming thence 1,200 years after the outgoing of the people of Israel." So that's right in the Declaration of the Scottish Independence. Like, this isn't hidden. This is their own Declaration of Independence of Scotland from the 1300s, says that they're from the people of Israel. So you've got the Scottish Independence, Declaration of Independence says, and of course, Israel's name is Jacob. So the fact that the British flag is called the Union Jack, I don't think it's much of a leap.
There's also an interesting artifact that I believe at one time was in Scotland. It was moved to England, and it's significant. It plays a vital role in the coronation ceremony of the kings and queens of England. The Stone of Scone?
The Stone of Scone, yes.
Yes.
I think it's the Stone of Scone.
The yes, Stone of Scone. All right.
Yes.
What is the significance of that, and how does that tie back to the Kingdom of Israel?
Well, that goes back to Jacob. He slept on the pillar stone, and he also had a dream. It was the Stairway to Heaven dream, where he dreamed the angels were going up and down to God at the top. He also had a dream. Well, he actually wrestled with an angel all night long when he was in Bethel. And during that wrestling match, he wouldn't let go, so he just kept wrestling until he was called the man who overcomes. So his name was changed from Jacob to Israel, which means one who overcomes. So he wasn't going to give up very easily. And that pillar stone, I guess they had to make it a little bit smaller. It was taken to Egypt, and then it was taken to Ireland. And it actually was overthrown three times. So it was, overturned. So it went to Tara in Ireland first. Then it went to London and Scotland. In 1996, it was after 700 years. Well, this was when it was in England, actually. It was taken to Scotland, I think it was July 6, 1996. So it has been there with the jewels and the scepter. So it's actually in Scotland right now. Now, that is the stone that all the kings are coronated on. It sits on, it's just underneath the throne. So it's a very, very important stone in history.
And it is believed by the British monarchs that this is, in fact, do they believe it is actually the stone that Jacob laid his head on? They believe it is that stone?
It was taken through the wilderness with Moses, too. So that is a very famous stone. There have been so many different legends, but the kings, every single one of the kings, you can also go back to about 583 B.C., the legend of Jeremiah and Baruch with Tiatefi, the daughter of Zedekiah, that they landed in Ireland, and she married a king. She was crowned, well, she would have been the queen, I guess. She was crowned with that stone under the throne. So it has a huge, there are also legends about it, but those are stories that can be corroborated in history.
I was going to ask you, just to further this discussion about the British monarchs, do the monarchs, the various houses that have ruled in England, whether it's the House of Hanover, or prior to that, the Stuarts or the Tudors, do they all believe that they can draw a line between, or their lineage leads back to the House of Ephraim or to Judah?
Well, actually, all of the crown heads of Europe are directly related. They're descendants of King David. So they're from the line of Judah, which is the scepter line. The queen herself is the 144th direct descendant of King David. Each and every one of the kings must have be directly related to King David by a bloodline.
All right. Now, you mentioned the Union Jack.
Yes.
There are other flags in the British Isles that somehow connect to the Lost Tribes, or specifically, I guess, Ephraim. Is there not the flag of, it's the Red Hand of Ulster I'm thinking about. There is some connection there. Is there not?
There is definitely, I believe that is from the Judah line, from Judah, and Rebecca had two sons, Perez and Zerah. And I'm trying to remember, one had the red that was coming out of the womb had the red. I'm going to let Nelson give that story. The red thread.
Nelson, can you jump on the phone there so I can hear you?
Yeah, the king of Judah had two sons, Perez and Zerah, and they were twins, and Zerah stuck his hand out first, and the nurse put a red thread around the hand. And then the hand went back in with the red thread on it, back into the womb. And Pharaoh's was born first, even though he didn't have his hand out first. So Pharaoh was born first, Zerah second, and it was always known as the Red Hand. And the Red Hand came because of the red thread that was tied by the nurse onto the hand of the prince. And in the Irish flag in Ulster, they have the red hand in their flag plus the Star of David, which is not Jewish, but people think it's Jewish. But the Irish know better because they have it on their flag. They know that it's the mark of Israel, the northern ten kingdoms. And so that flag is once again indicative of where these tribes migrated to.
And again, the tying of the red ribbon on the hand was to identify the elder of the two twins, because obviously that's important.
The nurse thought that because his hand was out, that he would be the firstborn. So she put the red thread on the wrist. But then again, it occurred that for some reason that child brought his hand back into the womb and the brother was born. But it is became a legend within the royalty of Judah, and was passed down for thousands of years, and to the other tribes, and some Judah did wind up in Ireland as well, along with the other 10 tribes with Joseph's descendants and the others. Remember, they all on a certain level went to the Isles, but the Isles was not a nation for Dan. It was Joseph's, given to Joseph and his two kids, Ephraim, Manasseh, and eventually Manasseh moved abroad, and Ephraim became a commonwealth of nations, as it says, as prophecy said would happen to her.
What about linguistically? If these tribes are speaking Hebrew, when they land in the British Isles, for example, and we know other tribes went other places, but one would then expect to find remnants of Hebrew in the British Isles.
Actually, in the Welsh language itself, it's very, very similar to Hebrew. You can just take several words and they're almost identical. It's one of the languages that is so close to Hebrew, it's amazing. Just an example, in Welsh, bara, in English it's bread, in Hebrew it's bara. And then another one is koron in Welsh, English crown, in Hebrew keren. It just keeps going. Most of the words are almost identical to Hebrew. But also we have, in the English language itself, is very similar to Hebrew too. You have, just one example, bashful. In Hebrew, it's bash. Aha, you know that expression we use for surprise? It's identical.
Yes.
In Hebrew. Bad. Room is a run. Sure. To see it examined is sure. Many words are almost identical in English and Hebrew, so there's a huge connection there, especially with the Welsh and the Hebrew, but also English and Hebrew. So for sure, it's so similar. Now we were talking about, I think, just to simplify, the one about what does British mean? Brith in Hebrew is covenant. It's mentioned 100 times in the Old Testament. Ish is man. So British is covenant man.
Ah, Ein, interesting.
Ein is land. Britain, land of the covenant. Anea is ships. So Britannia, ships of the covenant. And if we look at the different prophecies with respect to the blessings that Ephraim and Manasseh would get, that one would be a great nation, the other would be a commonwealth of nations. And if you really look at these two brothers, countries, they excelled and they prospered very quickly, and their populations grew in a very, very short period of time. So there's a very prophetic, it's very prophetic that they should be powerful, mighty, the people of God Almighty. So America being a powerful nation is evident, and Ephraim, or Great Britain, became a commonwealth of nations. They had they had New Zealand and South Africa and Canada and all these countries together. India, I'm trying to think of some others. So they had a huge number of countries that they were in charge of, and of course the sea gates of the world was another promise that they would get, and of course, they controlled all of them. They don't have them all now.
Well, of course, Gibraltar is a prime example. Gibraltar would certainly be considered, you know, a sea gate, and that was under British control, or it may still be, in fact, under British control. We will take a time out. Wanda and Nelson Thal, tribaltalkers.com. Coming up at the bottom of the next hour, we'll open up the phone lines, but before we get to that, we'll talk about some of the genetic evidence that points to the location of the Lost Tribes of Israel. You're listening to Coast to Coast AM. My name is Richard Serrett. Stay a while.